Just say this with me. I say that Immokalee is in revival. The blind see, the lame walk, the deaf hear, the dumb speak, the dead are raised, demoniacs are set free, maimed are made whole, thousands and thousands are born again in this outpouring. Presence. We say presence. We declare that this is the year of presence. We give you all the praise and glory. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 All right. Hallelujah. You can stay up there maybe. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it. So I was writing down some scripture yesterday and going through and praying and this morning, and this is a familiar portion of scripture that we've been hearing a lot from Brother Gary Carpenter, but nevertheless, so true. John 14, verses 12 through 14. Let's go there, because we're going to ask. We're going to ask big this morning. Hallelujah. Amen. Can I get an amen? Amen? Hallelujah. Jesus said these words. He said, truly, truly, verily, verily, verse 12, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, he shall do also. Hallelujah. Amen. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go to the Father. He's talking about us getting people born again. But the works, we're looking at an outpouring here in Immokalee where the people say, only Jesus can do that. Hallelujah. And only the people that know Jesus can do that. And whatsoever you shall ask, can you say this, whatsoever? Whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Now he's about to be glorified in us. Hallelujah. And through us. If you ask anything, everybody say anything. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Hallelujah. And we're getting closer and closer to really believing that and actually coming to a place where anything and all things are possible, because we speak his name and his name alone produces the miracle. Hallelujah. These are kingdom words. What's a kingdom word? Anything. Say it with me. Anything. All things. Hallelujah. We're coming into a reality where anything and all things are possible. And it's not something that we're just imagining now. That's part of it, recoding the brain. But it's more than that. It's a belief in what we're asking, knowing that instantaneously we receive it and we have it. Hallelujah. Ask and ask big. Can you say that? Ask, let's ask. And let's ask big. Hallelujah. If you're going to ask, you might as well ask and ask big. Hallelujah. Revival is absolutely impossible except through him. Hallelujah. So we might as well just throw down the gauntlet and say none of it's possible except through him. And if it is possible through him, then it's all possible. Hallelujah. So we're moving into that realm. And Candy was saying, and Homer was saying last week, and we've just been, that's been in front of me so much, past mirages. Whatever the enemy says is a lie. Whatever this says is truth. Hallelujah. We hold to the truth. Hallelujah. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by what? Every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. The word of God is quick and powerful. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 4. Thank you, Jesus. Is it okay if I have a sip of? Yes. Hallelujah. This is, Pastor Dave used to say, this is tea. Hallelujah. It's not coffee, it's just tea. It's one of those mornings. Hallelujah. Hebrews 4, verse 12 says, for the word of God is what? It's quick. It's powerful. Quick means it is full of life. It's powerful. Sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. Now, if we went into this, he's speaking to the Hebrews that have joined themselves to Christianity. And he's talking specifically about the word of the gospel that had been preached to them. But this is applicable to all things. For the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. There you have it. The word of God goes in us. The seed that James talks about of the new birth goes in us. Then it begins to work through the power of the Holy Spirit, a great work in our life. He says in verse 13, neither is there any creature, and he's talking about spirit, soul, and body. He's not talking about creatures on the outside. He's talking about that if we stay in his presence, that the Holy Spirit begins to take the word of God and help us to discern our life and say, Lord, what does it take for me to go to the next level? What does it take for me to change? What am I hearing you saying in my private times? And this is where we all desire to be. Verse 14 says, seeing then that we have a great high priest. Who's our high priest? Jesus, that has passed into the heavens. Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. You could also, that word could go down into confession. For we have not a high priest, a double negative here. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings. Everybody say feelings. Yes. Feelings of our infirmity, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. This is amazing point here. This is a place of confidence. It's an absolute place of confidence. Because it's amazing when the writer, whoever it was in Hebrews, uses the word feelings here. He says the feelings of our infirmities. He doesn't say that he is touched with our infirmities, which he is. But whatever it is that's facing, we're facing, every infirmity has emotions with it. It has feelings with it. And he goes beyond in dissecting us, spirit, soul, and body. He goes beyond, the Holy Spirit goes beyond a place of just recognizing. It's like the, how can I put this? I think I've used it before. It's the young man that's in a wheelchair that's sitting on a varsity field on a Friday night football game, and he's crippled. Now, more than anything else, he wants to get out of that wheelchair. More than anything else, he wants to go to that place where he can run and play football with the rest of the guys. It's an infirmity in his body, whatever the infirmity is, the crippling. But it's not just the physical. It's the hurt. It's the emotional. And the writer of Hebrews says here that the Holy Spirit goes beyond that, or our high priest, Jesus, goes beyond that. He's not just desiring to fix you partially. He's touched with the feelings, the emotions. Why? Because he himself was in all points, it says here, tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Hallelujah. We have a perfect, only one Messiah, Jesus the Lord. Let us therefore come, what? Boldly. Hallelujah. How should we come? Boldly. Why? Because we know this, he went before us. And he's gone there, and he knows everything, and he knows. You might as well just go and just expose yourself in a good way. Because he knows everything, and because he knows everything, then we also know that he himself was tempted, it says, like as we are, yet without sin, let us come boldly. So often we want to come in kind of backing up like this. And I know that we're supposed to have total respect, but we should run in, Abba, you're my daddy. Just lift your hands. Father, in the name of Jesus, we glorify you. We thank you for this opportunity, Lord, always, daily, to come into your presence. We glorify you. We praise and magnify you. Let presence come upon us, Lord, in this year because of a boldness of knowing that we're sons and daughters before you, Lord. We glorify you. We glorify you. We glorify you. Hallelujah. Can you just begin to glorify him? We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. Abba, we worship you and praise and magnify you. We exalt you, Jesus. We exalt you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Father. Hallelujah, Father. That we may obtain boldness in saying, Lord, I'm not perfect, but I know this. 1 John 1:9 still works. The blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Do you incorporate the blood of Jesus every day, just about, or whenever it's necessary? Looking at him, it says, let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace that we may obtain. What's the first thing you obtain when you come before the mercy? The word mercy there is the word compassion. In other words, he looks at you as a daughter, as a son, and says, I can't deal with you. No, he loves you with the love that Jesus had when he hung on the cross, shed his blood. He loves you now, not because of Jesus himself, but now through Jesus, we become sons and daughters. Hallelujah. It's always through Christ, but now we become flesh of his flesh, bone of his bone, in the sense of the Spirit. That we may obtain mercy and find grace. It's unmerited favor, but it's also the empowerment to live a life of victory. 1 John, you don't have to turn there, but I'll read this. 1 John 3, living in a good conscience brings faith. For if our hearts, verse 20, condemn us, you can write this down or turn there. God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence towards God. And whatsoever, again, everybody say whatsoever. Whatsoever we ask, we do what? We receive of him. Hallelujah. Because we keep his commandments and do those things which are pleasing in his sight. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Fellowship, which is communion with God, brings his presence. And presence brings and makes all things possible. Ephesians 3:14. You want to turn there with me? Hallelujah. Some more tea. Let's look at it. Looking at verse 14 following. You know this is not tea. I'm not trying to lie to you. It's good American made coffee. Hallelujah. Ephesians 3:14 says this, for this cause, Paul said, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's talking about a place of communion. Can you picture this? A place of daily communion, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, that's me, that's you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by Holy Spirit, or Spirit, it says, in the inner man, the Holy Spirit, as we enter into this place of communion on a continual basis. Because what we're getting at is for us to receive a year of presence or saturation, there has to be a deliberate communion taking place on a daily basis. The bread truck has to be backed up. I hope you're listening to Gary's teachings recently. That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, and that you be rooted and grounded in what? This is what happens. You get rooted and grounded in love. And what does love do? Well, love is faith worketh by love. And there's where we're headed towards this great outpouring. That you may be, I'm going to put that you, but that you may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, the length, and the depth, and the height. What's he describing in this dimensional thing here? He's talking about love. That's the subject. And to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, easy for me to say, knowledge, that it might be filled, that you might be filled with the what? Fullness. Okay, if we get the fullness, are we going to have miracles? If we get into the love of God, are we going to have presence? Is that presence going to develop a place of love in us where we instantaneously say, get up, and they get up? Hallelujah. He's touched with the feelings of our infirmities. And now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly. Look at these adjectives here. He doesn't say he's able to do it. It says exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or even think. Hallelujah. Boy, that's a big God. Hallelujah. According to the power that worketh in us. It's that agitation. It's like the washing machine that's agitating the clothes. What's working in us? If love is working in us through communion, praying in the Spirit, praying in other tongues, worshiping God, then there's a place where the Holy Spirit is building that love and building that place of compassion so that all things, that power is working in us, and then all things are possible. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Faith comes by the word, and presence brings confidence in our miracles, for our miracles. Hallelujah. If we have confidence when we pray, we know that things will take place. The year of presence. You know, I was contemplating also where Moses was at, and then his protege, Joshua. And let's go to Exodus chapter 33. Look at verse 33. Look at verse 9. Now, this is the life that Moses lived, and we skipping a whole lot of stuff and not going into it, but throughout his leadership, the people saw him as a man that continually, he received the law, 40 days and 40 nights, came back, saw what was going on, threw down the tablets, had to go back, and then another 40 days and 40 nights, but he was always in the presence of God. And it came to pass in verse 9, it says, and it came to pass as Moses entered into the tabernacle, the cloudy pillar descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle. And the Lord talked with Moses. He talked with Moses, and all the people saw the cloudy pillar stand at the tabernacle door, and all the people rose up and worshiped every man in his tent door. And the Lord spake unto Moses, what? face to face. As a man speaketh unto his friend. And he turned again into the camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. What it's saying here is that Joshua had an absolute hunger for the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. How are we doing on temperature? Some of you might be getting a little sleepy here. As we see, hunger is the prerequisite of presence. Lord, keep us hungry. Keep us hungry. The moment that we begin to lose our hunger is the moment that we begin to get diverted. So Lord, help us to stay in a place of a Joshua generation where that we are people that say, even after Moses leaves, you know, I'm praying that we will we'll have some services around here. We've had some short services. I apologize for that. Because of what I want for us is to have services where there's lingering presence. Hallelujah. And that when 12 o'clock gets here, that we don't just deliberately say, well, I'm going to stay to 12:30 or 1:30. But that we're saying, Lord, I want presence more than anything else. Desire, hunger brings presence. Thanks, Marty. The more that we desire him, David said, the Lord said, seek my face. And David said, I'll seek your face. I'll lay down everything for you. And the more that we seek his face, it's like God's presence impregnates our spirit with a stronger desire than ever before to go into presence. Hallelujah. We need a Joshua generation. Wave at me and say, I'll be that. Hallelujah. Now Joshua was the one, it wasn't Moses and the law, but it was a warfare spirit. It was one that says, we're going to conquer. We're absolutely going to conquer. And Moses had that, but he passed that over to Joshua, and Joshua was that generation that went into the promised land and possessed. Hallelujah. Our promised land is here, and it's called revival. Hallelujah. It's called outpouring. Hunger is the prerequisite. Thank you, Jesus. We're so hungry. Thank you, Lord. Lead us, Harry. Jesus. We exalt you. Stand with me again. Let's just lift our hands and magnify him. Thank you.
I was telling my wife a little while ago, you see why I'm going to say what I'm going to say. After all these years, I was crying earlier because I don't know how that bullet missed my head. I had it point blank, and I pulled the trigger and it missed my head. I should be dead, and now I know why the Lord heard my grandmother's prayers, and I was born for such a time as this, man. I am so drawn to this little church. I'm so drawn to my pastor, Miss Candy. I'm so drawn to prayer. I was born for such a time as this, to give my life for the kingdom. I was praying the other day, and I get scared, man. I get scared a little bit. I said, Lord, the day that I was born again, I died to sin, and I was made righteous within. My citizenship is now kingdom. That I would count all things but dung. Let me be like they that love not their life till the death. I get scared because what the Father's asking from us is our life. we give our life for the kingdom. We lay down our life for what we're taught. You come to this church for a reason. You were born for such a time as this. If you come to this church habitually, you are not a dime a dozen Christian. You are not. You come every week to this church. Your fasting, your prayer, you deny yourself, die to self. That is the gospel of the kingdom, my friends. He has called us to lay down our life as disciples, as men and women. He said, greater love. Listen to what he said, and I'm done. Greater love has no man than this. Than what, Jesus? Then you lay down your life for your friends. But then it hit me. I can't lay down my life for you unless I do whatever Christ asks me to do. If I do whatever he asked me to do, then I lay down my life. He's asking me to go into him like never, ever, ever before. To develop the disposition that I got to find him, even if that means death. Nothing else is worth living for if I can't die for the gospel's sake, man. You're quiet because he's ministering to you. You're called to the same thing. I was born for such a time as this, to yield the Spirit of God, to give my life for the kingdom, to submit fully to this man and to his wife, to find Christ, to fast and pray like never, ever before. The days are short, man. I was born for such a time as this, to lay down all my life for the gospel's sake. If you come to this church, so are you, friends. You're called to lay down your life for the gospel's sake. Follow us, man. Follow us. Follow us. I can't make you, but I've never been so satisfied in my life. Never been so satisfied in my life. I'm walking in like never before, and I love it. Yeah, there's mind games, there's a mirage, but oh my God, the inner peace in Christ in me is a burning lamp, man. I am not burned out. My fire, my zeal, my resolve, it increases daily. And I'm so drawn to this little church. Come, man. Come with us. Come with us, man. Nothing else can compare to a man or woman laying down their life for the gospel's sake. I know these aren't articulate words, very profound. The Christianity 101. Come with us, man. To the end. This world is dependent on seeing something different from the church. Let's give them all we got, man. it's so much of an honor to be in this church for 30 years to submit to this man and to his wife. It is an honor of my life to be in this church. I am so drawn to the gospel of the kingdom and the way this man has laid down his life, for the kingdom's sake, and it has rubbed off on me. I pray that our life rubs off on you. The recompense of laying down your life is an internal peace that I cannot explain to you. Come, man. Come. It's worth every fight. It's worth every battle, knowing that I'm pressing into the kingdom. It's my comfort. Come with us, man. Come with us. Amen. Hallelujah.
Spending my hours praying the mysteries, praying in tongues. Let's keep praying. Hallelujah, like never before. People are hungry. They're very hungry. A lady came a few weeks ago and said, okay, Amber, just share a little bit about your friend, but not God. Got baptized in the Spirit. Amber's been witnessing to her. Do you want to share that? Yeah, that's okay. You probably can. I was going to share it, but go ahead. Come on. No, go ahead, because you're the first. But tell them what we prayed over her.
I have a really good friend. I consider her one of my best friends. I love her so much. Her roots are deep Baptist, and we've been friends probably about 3 years now. But she has listened to some of the services over the years, and she's only come here two different times, but probably for the past 6 months she's really had an interest in the Holy Spirit and asking questions. And I gave her Dave's book and different things, and the question was always, so do you believe I have to do this to go to heaven? And I'd have to explain no, and she really wanted me to clarify that, and I did. So I said, you know, you don't even need anybody to pray for you. You can ask for it yourself. And she had tried that a few times. And she came here two Sundays ago. And let me go back. I got about 3 weeks ago. This is where the whole thing kind of started from. Mike was out of town, and me and the girls were fixing to get ready to go grab dinner at a sushi restaurant. And she happened to call, and she said, I said, do you want to go dinner with us? And she said, yeah. So we were sitting there, and somehow the conversation of the Holy Spirit came up. And she goes, you know what? I believe in it. The more that I've read the Bible and the more that I've read the book, I believe in it, but I don't think it's for me. And before I could speak, Aubrey, she goes, oh, it's for everybody all the time. She goes, I looked at her, and me and Isla were like, and she goes, and she was still eating, and it was just so it's for everybody all the time. And she goes, my mom and dad make me do it. We sit around at night. She goes, sometimes I don't feel like it, but you can do it in the shower. You can do it before bed. She goes, but it's for everybody all the time. And so I'm teared up, and we're just kind of like, and she goes, oh, okay. And we all kind of laughed about it. But before dinner was over, she said, can I go to church with you tomorrow? And I said, yeah. So she came. We went up to the front. Dad prayed for her. Nothing really happened then, but he said, just because you've asked, you've received. You know, you have said it, you've confessed it, you've received. So that was last Sunday. We got out of church. And this was the Sunday she wasn't with us. But she goes, I have to let you know, I was having a really bad night last night. And she goes, your dad said, when I came up. You might not have it right now, but you are filled. Maybe it'll just happen. Maybe you'll wake up praying in tongues. And she goes, I woke up in the middle of the night and I was doing something. I didn't know what I was doing. And then I realized I'm praying in tongues. So she only, at that point, I haven't talked to her in a couple of days. She only had 3 or 4 words, but she was doing those 3 or 4 words. So she got filled with the Spirit.
Let's all stand. Thank you for staying in. Praying with us. We'll be back here tonight at 6. I don't think it'll be too cold to get together. So, hallelujah. You're blessed, and I bless you in Jesus' name. Have a wonderful day. Amen.